Book of Psalms tonight, please. Book of Psalms, chapter number 55. Book of Psalms, chapter 55. I really appreciate that song being sung just now. After prayer meeting this afternoon and hearing the many burdens that are being carried by folks, and of course not hearing many burdens that are carried by folk, and then singing that song, I hope tonight this will be a blessing to you. Because the title of message tonight is Casting Our Burdens on the Lord. Casting Our Burdens on the Lord. Before we read tonight, let's pray. Father, I ask you to work in our hearts. I pray, O God, that you would tonight, even as we read this great psalm, that you would speak to us, that you would draw things to our attention, that you tonight would just honor yourself through it. May you be glorified through it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 55 with me, please. Beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read the entire psalm tonight. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." You may be seated. Thank you for standing. David was a man who well understood the affairs of people. David was a man who went through many, many heartaches, distresses, very uncomfortable situations. David was wronged on a number of occasions. We find that God had called David to be the king of Israel, and yet there was a king who stood in his way, and David allowed God to take his time and to remove him. But then even as David was king, we find there came a time when his son rose up against him and David had to flee the city. And his good friend, Ahithophel, actually counseled against him. And I believe probably that is whom he refers to in verse number 13 as one who was his equal, one who was his acquaintance, one who he had taken sweet counsel with. And we find that through it all, David learned a very wonderful lesson. And that is to cast his burden upon the Lord. You know, one of the things that we find in the Christian walk is that God allows his children to bear certain burdens. God allows us to have problems in our lives. I heard many years ago, listen, you get saved and man, your life will be a bed of roses. I found out long ago that a bed of roses means there's a lot of thorns. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of heartaches and a lot of problems along the way. And yet we have a God that wants to, take us through all of those things. God does allow us burdens. You know, the tribe of Levi was the priestly tribe. And these Levites, God had ordained them to be bearers of the burden. In other words, they were to, whenever they moved, they were to pick up all the tabernacle. And each one of them had a specific job that they were to take care of in that particular march from one place to another. And though they had different burdens and had different things to carry, yet all of them had something to carry. Some of these burdens will take us to the furnace, as we think of the three Hebrews in Daniel's day. But we find that God wants us to understand something. No matter what the burdens are that you and I might have, no matter what the distress is, no matter what comes upon us, no matter how we might be wrong, no matter what kind of hurts enter into our lives, God is there to take us through. I never heard the sermon, but I heard an awful lot about it. The old black preacher that many years ago preached on the text, and it came to pass. It came to do something, and that is to pass. But in the meantime, we have burdens to bear. And I want us to stop and think about verse number 22, because there's something you and I need to do with every burden, and that is what? Cast it upon the Lord. He said, take my yoke upon you, did he not? He wants us to cast that upon him, allow him to bear that with us or bear it for us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall what? Sustain thee. If we're going to get from this basic text, if we're going to understand this, I think we need to go back throughout the chapter here and look at this psalm in its context. For I believe that we need to understand that along the way, there's going to be a lot of temptations when it comes to the burdens we bear. Why don't you go back to verse number 2 with me, and I find this to be very true in my life. Verse number 2 says, attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my... what's that word? Complaint. And make a noise. You know, one of the temptations that you and I are most apt to have in our life as we have these burdens come upon us is to complain about them. To complain about the person who brought it upon us. To complain about the burden itself. To complain even to God about all of these things. But we are so apt to complain. But we need to understand something tonight. God allows these things. He said, I don't understand that. Listen, I don't understand it either. But God allows some things. I don't understand why a parent would put a child through such trauma as making them stand on their feet when they're perfectly content to crawl, and make them stand on their feet, and somebody else would come unto me and try to get them to come and have, let them fall down on the floor. I mean, how cruel is that? I mean, stop and think about it. We are cruel individuals when it comes to our children. Come on, child, we want you to walk. And as soon as they learn how to walk, we wish we never taught them. Because now we have to child-proof our home. Isn't that true? But what is it? We allow those kinds of things because we know that in the process of learning how to walk, there's going to be some falling down. I learned how to ride a bicycle in the worst place in the entire world. Well, maybe not quite the worst place, but I lived on the farm. And until I was about 8 years of age, why, we were farmers. And my sister had a 26-inch girl's bike. And that was the only bicycle we had. Now, if you can understand a 6-year-old kid on a 26-inch bicycle and you're standing on the pedals, you cannot reach the seat, the handlebars are up here. I was one of the original bikers, you know. Our neighbor over here, he's got one of those bikes, and he drives down the road like this, and I'm thinking to myself, is that fun? You know, and I like motorcycles, but not quite like that. But that was my first experience. And they wanted me to learn how to ride a bicycle. Understand, on the farm, we did not have paved driveway. We had rock, gravel, driveway. It was quite a large driveway, tell you the truth. Be about like the size of our parking lot out here. It was a huge place. And so one day I'm wanting to learn how to ride this bike, or my sister wanted me to learn how. I'm not sure which it was. And she says, "I'll help you." And you know the scene, you know the story, don't you? And she says, "I'll help you and I'll hold you up." And so here we go. I'm a pedaling and she's holding the bike and I'm having a great old time. And all of a sudden I look around and she's not there any longer. Sisters, brothers, remember this. They will desert you. It is a known fact. I can prove it. My sister who loves me deserted me. And she left me out there all by myself. And as soon as I found out that she wasn't there, you know what I did? On to what? You know what gravel does to your knees? It does horrible things to you. And I fell in that stuff. And my mother had very little compassion when it came to these kinds of things. She saw the whole thing. She was akin to it. And she said, "Get up, son. You got to learn how to do this. Brush it off. You know, and get back on that bicycle." The last thing I want to do. But let's stop and think about that. We have a little fun with that. But God does that in our lives. We don't understand some of those things. And we don't get it. Why does God let go when we're out here in the middle of nowhere, you know? Well, God has a purpose for it. God has an intention for it. And yet we complain about it. Notice verse number 4. Boy, I've been here too. "My heart is sore pain with me, and the terrors of death are fall upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." I mean, this guy's ready to quit. I mean, have you ever been so discouraged that I quit? I remember a number of years ago, man, we was in the throes of things. I don't remember what was going on. And we were having a tough time in church. And Brother Blue, my good friend, he was pastoring at the time. Matter of fact, did for nearly 40 years out in Seattle. He called me up and he says, "I had a call from a church down in California." He says, "They're running about 500 people in attendance." And he says, "I think I'd like to go. And if I go, would you come and be my assistant once again?" Because I was his associate out in Seattle. And I said, "Brother, just send me a U-Haul truck. I'm ready to go." I was ready to pack it in, ready to quit. Why? Because it was tough. How many have been there? Yeah, we've been there, haven't we? And we're ready to, you know, take this job. Well, anyways, we'll get off that one. And we're just ready to give up. Isn't that true? Notice the verse number 6. "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Not only do we complain, not only are we people who are ready to quit, but we're like Jonah. We are ready to run away. Remember when you was a kid and things got a little rough at home? And you said, "I'm going to run away." How many have ever done that? Some of you actually, yeah. How many of you had your mom pack your bag for you? Dom, you did? Part of it? Yeah. And I used to think, oh my goodness, one sandwich is not going to take me very far. I'll tell you what, hunger pains do an awful lot for a young child who thinks ahead just a little bit in the future. And I'd think those things. I used to go out in my backyard and I had a little dog. We named this Nooks. It was actually Snoopy, but my mother couldn't say it, and that was the way it came out. And so my little dog, I'd go out there and I'd cry. I just went out of here, and my dog would lick my ears and just comfort me and help me along, you know. And he'd say, "Let's go." But ready to run. We are like that. That's our temptation. We complain, we quit, we run. Oh boy, look at the next one. This one isn't very good. "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city." I mean, there are those who are doing us evil, and what do we want? Oh God, destroy them. Bring wrath upon them. Dr. Malone, who was my pastor for 3 years, said that One day he came into church and there was a prayer meeting going on. He said, I didn't know there was a prayer meeting going on. He said, I'm the pastor of the church, but there was a prayer meeting going on. So he said, hey, my church, you know, I'm the pastor and there's a prayer meeting. I need to be in the prayer meeting. So he says, I went down. He said, I knelt down beside him. And he said, I heard this one old gal, she was praying. She was saying, dear God, kill him. And he thought to himself, boy, this is tough stuff here. I wonder who she wants killed. And he sat there a little longer. And as he was hearing some of them pray, he discovered they were praying for him and asking God to destroy him. Sometimes we're like that. He preached against some of their sin and they got upset about it. And rather than letting it get right, why, they were, what, seeking evil upon him. And so often that happens. Sarah did that with Hagar, didn't she not? But God says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I want to tell you the truth. When there's times like that, we wish that verse was not in the Bible. It's those times we wish, God, if you would allow me to remove this from your word, I would be very happy to help you out. But God says we're to love our enemies. Wow. But we are tempted to do those things. But let's think about the command God gives in verse number 22. Cast thy burdens where? Upon the Lord. That's where it needs to be. What we need to do is see to it how God takes care of it. Let's think about it a moment. Here we find a specific situation. David is praying. He's had his very good friend turned against him. Not only is he not counseling him any longer, he's counseling his son who has taken over the country. He has been deported, basically. And he is in a very bad way. And yet through it, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Allow God to take care of it in His time. How many realize that God allowed Judas to betray Jesus? You say, how do you know that? Because he predicted it ahead of time. You see, there was purpose in that. And we need to wait for His time, allowing God to take care of even the removal of the problem. Some of you knew my father-in-law, Harold. And That was Greg's dad. And Harold and I had a tremendous relationship. And in his latter years, he'd been very sick for a number of years. And I can't remember the number of times that I'd get a phone call and we'd go down and he'd say to me, Gene, would you pray for me? And he wasn't asking me to pray that he would be healed. He wanted to die. He wanted to go to heaven. Went out of this mess. I have borne this thing long enough. And honestly, I remember sitting on the side of the bed with him a number of occasions and praying and asking God just to take him home. Very, very difficult thing to do, but I knew it was His desire. I knew eventually it would be God's desire, but I had no idea the time. I was not there when it took place. But Elaine one day said, Harold, if you just let God do it when He wants to and quit telling Him when, maybe He'd take you home. To my knowledge, He never said another word. 3 weeks, He was in heaven. That taught me something. We just need to let God take care of it in His time. It may be a long time. It may be something we need in our lives. But God is waiting for us, let Him do it His way. In the meantime, we need just to call upon Him. Notice verse number 16. As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Notice how often evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud and He shall hear my voice. We just need to talk to Him. Tell Him about it. Don't tell Him how to do it. But let Him know our situation. You say, well, God knows. Yes, He does. But we need to just call upon Him. You know, a lot of times God is allowing us problems in our lives and God is allowing us situations that we would, rather than complain, that we would call upon Him. How many have discovered that prayer is something we do when we need something? And so God allows us a lot of needs, so we'll keep what? Calling. Yeah. And a lot of us, we don't have some needs. We don't recognize there's something needy in our lives. We don't call, do we? And so the Lord's wanting us to understand we just need to call upon Him. There's something very interesting to me in verse number 18. It says, He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Have you ever felt all alone in your situation? You ever felt like nobody cares? Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about my situation. Of course. That was me in my backyard with my dog. I've been in that same backyard many times as an adult, didn't have a dog. And I thought, nobody cares. And yet, I have found out by experience from the Word of God that is simply not true. There are often many with us. Elijah was way down with God in the desert. And he says, I'm all by myself. And God says, listen, there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You just don't know who they are. There was a time when the whole army of Syria came around about Elisha. And the servant of Elisha said, our enemies are about us. And Elisha said to God, open his eyes that he might see that there's more with us than there is with them. And so God, we find, opened their eyes. And behold, the Bible says the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God never leaves us alone. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall what? Sustain thee. We just allow God to do what He's going to do. Know it is from God and let Him do what He wants to do in our life. Thank you so much, John. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Verse 2 says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His blood for my soul. What tremendous words that this man gave to you and to me. It is well with my soul. And in the midst of great crises he had found, we just let God do what He's going to do. The Apostle Paul was on the island of Melita. They'd been shipwrecked. And as they were gathering sticks together and building a fire, a viper comes out and bites his hand. A viper, by the way, a snake is always a picture of Satan. He bit his hand. What did Paul do? We're talking about a poisonous snake. Shook it off. Do you think Paul knew what it was? Yeah. He just shook it off. And let God heal him. Let God take care of it. By the way, there was nothing else he could do. If you really stop and think about it. All the people looked and they thought, surely he's going to die because he is a terrible person. After all, he's a prisoner. And God has judged him, but he shook it off. And just kept on working. And the poison never stopped him. He let God do the healing. You know what our problem is too often in the midst of our trials and all of our problems that we deal with and all the things that come into our lives, all the burdens that we bear. We just like to heap them up real tall and just keep on bearing them rather than cast them upon the Lord. And just shake it off and let Him do what He wants to do. Let Him do what He wants to do. I look back, I forget what year it was, 2003, 2004. I had a heart attack. And by the way, it was a very unusual experience because everybody else was standing around scared to death and I was excited. I'd been hurting for so long and I finally found out what it was. And, you know, if I died, I was going out knowing what it was of. And I just had tremendous peace through that. But it was not an easy time either. And there was things, you know, you had to deal with and all these kinds of things. But you know what? God taught me so much through that. Taught me to rely more upon Him. And so God allows us many things in our lives, but what are we supposed to do with them? You know what, Mindy? Cast them upon the Lord. Yeah. Now, I got to ask you a question. You're in the front row. You'll wish you hadn't sat there. Do you do this? We're going to be transparent. I do this. I cast it on the Lord. And I walk away and I think, you know what? I kind of like that. And I take it back. You do that? Do you know what we got to do next?
We got to just keep carrying it the rest of our lives because we gave it to Him and now we got it and we can't get rid of it now.
No. We cast it back again. Yeah. There are some burdens I have cast upon the Lord so many times. Are you folks like me? I see heads rattling. We do that.
Well, preacher, I've done it so many times.
Do it again. Do it again. Because my Bible says that He ever cares for us. He's always there, ready to take it. And what's neat about that whole scenario, have you learned this, Mindy? After you've done this 300 times with one particular burden, finally you leave it there. Yeah. Finally, I've left it there. Oh, I got another one now. But when I've learned to put it there the first time, it's easier the next time. It's easier the next time. That's what God wants us to do. Lord, tonight I pray You'll work in our hearts. Lord, I know in this room that there's not a person here that does not have some burdens. Some of those burdens are very personal. Some of them are for others and the needs that are in their lives. Lord, some of them are going into a job situation tomorrow that's a tremendous burden. God, sometimes it's yay right in our families. Sometimes it's our own mindset. Sometimes it's our health. So many things, oh God, but You allow those things. And Lord, I pray tonight that You'd help us not be complaining, if not to run. But God, that we might just learn how, as James said, to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Because it's in those places that You are teaching us. And so, Lord, tonight, really, those that You love, that You really care for, You do.